Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I'm so glad that you joined me on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. You have joined me here right at home where victorious living is going to be found through the words of empowerment from these biblical lessons and principles while we're exploring the theological implication as well as contextualizing the relevant seed for today's living. Oh, this word is pliable for your life on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be greatly, greatly, greatly blessed. But come right on in and go with me. We're going to be looking at several passages of scriptures for this wonderful lesson today. If you have your notebook, grab it, and if you want to take some notes and things, I know you're going to be blessed. And the scriptures that we're going to look at is going to be three different scriptures. The first one is going to be found over in Psalms 105, verses 26. We're also going to be looking at Exodus chapter 28, verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. So if you turn with me on those, or just in your hearing, I can read it in your hearing. Psalms chapter number, or Psalm 105, verses 26, it reads on this line. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Now let's look further at Exodus chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his son with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Eleazar, and Itamar, and Aaron's son. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 read, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities? And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now let's look at another passage of scripture too. That's going to be back again at Exodus chapter 28, verses number 1. It said, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Eleazar, and Itamar, Aaron's son. And these are the men that God had called and set aside and chosen. These were the sons of Aaron. Now let's take a look at. Today we're going to be talking about God's call, and he calls his people for sacred service. Now, we must recognize that God governs the church, and he calls men and women to fulfill specific ministries in his kingdom, whether it's in the pulpit ministry or whether it is a position of service. No individual places themselves in the position of their really own volition and own will. It is really God that is orchestrating and fashioning his people where he has called and ordained them to be. So take a moment and begin to say, well, Lord, where am I at? Or think about, where am I at in when it comes to ministry, come to working of the things of the Lord? And I want you to take a moment and just stop and just think, where are you right now? And what are you doing in the kingdom of God, your local church? What are you doing? What are you called to do? You must recognize that that place where you're at has been ordained by God for you to serve in that capacity. He's already equipped you. He's already fortified you. He's already given you the capacity as well as the ability to execute or operate in that area or that calling which he have upon your life. So when you look again, begin to think, this was not of my own volition. This is not of my own will. And think, this is a God thing. This is something that God has literally put in my hands to do and to accomplish here in his kingdom, in the earthly realm. And so once we begin to recognize that that came from the hand of the Lord, we're able to embrace it with a greater humility, with a greater sense of compassion, greater sense of gratitude, that God himself had thought that much of you, that he's already equipped you and endowed you and empowered you. All he's been waiting for you just to say yes. And so now it's almost like after we come into the realization that this is what God's called me to do, now I've got to be about my Father's business. I got to do the work that he's called me to do. And I have to do it in a manner of excellence, because what I do now is going to display the excellency of my love towards my God. Am I going to do it with integrity, doing it with all my might and all my strength to his glory? Because when I serve, I want his glory to be manifested among his people. And not only his glory manifested among his people, but glory will go back up to him and things from that which I have done or he has empowered you to do. So wherever you find yourself in ministry, I want you to begin to reexamine yourself and begin to think, am I doing this to the very best of my ability? Or what can I do differently to make it better? Because I'm bringing glory and honor unto him. Have I called this place a sacred place? Whether it is a praise leader, whether it is a intercessor, whether it is one that is in charge of a prayer group, whether it is over Christian education, Sunday school, or your cell group, and things are the gathering that God has entrusted in your hand. Are you doing it to the best of your ability, touching the lives and the hearts of the people of God, but most of all, bringing glory and honor unto God through your service as you have sacredly set it aside for the glory of the Lord? Further, we must recognize that God determines even the level and the nature of the service performed by every believer in the kingdom. God could use angels to carry out various tasks, but he called us as individual talents and ability to accomplish his purpose. We become channels of blessings and vessel pliable in the hand of God, not for personal gain or use, but all for the glory of God. Now, we may receive tribute and honor for what we have accomplished, but we shall always direct all the glory and praise back unto God, because we recognize without him, we could do nothing. We are merely fulfilling our call to serve in the vineyard of God. Now, let's stop there for just a moment, and I want to park there at that thought, because a lot of times I hear a lot of people are looking and searching and trying to find what God has called them to do and searching for purpose. I come to tell you, if you just start doing what God given you to do, you're going to walk into purpose. You're going to serve into purpose. If you are there and you not on any auxiliary or a part of any committee, well, keep being faithful and keep your heart open and saying, God, if you need me, I am available. Keep giving kind words. Keep being gracious and kind to your fellow sisters or brother and things. And I guarantee as you keep serving in that capacity, when you leave, before you leave the church, see if anything that's around you that need to be picked up and things. You constantly serving in the places where you're at and things. And if you be found faithful on those few things, God's going to make you ruler over many. And so as we find ourselves faithful in the things of God, God is going to greatly, greatly bless you. Now, to serve in God's kingdom is to labor as a servant and to perfectly minister to others in the process of preparing the tabernacle for worship. A myriad of talents and willing individuals contribute their substance, they contribute their time, and they contribute their skills. Now, God instructed Moses in many every minute detail and made him responsible to find men and women capable of serving the Lord in those capacities. Now, sometimes the realization and God has called on us to serve him, sometimes it overwhelms us. But we must recognize that we got to push past that place of being overwhelmed and recognize somebody need what you got. Someone, the kingdom of God is going lack because you're not moving in your area of gifting or talents or gift of service in that area. So something in the body is lacking and is not being supplied with the joint and with the sinew, with the gift and the talents that you have until you get up and start moving, get up and start being about it. And you say, again, well, Pastor, I've been sitting here. I don't know what. Well, keep edifying your sisters and brothers. Keep telling them that you're glad that they made it out to the house of the Lord and that God is going to bless them. That's service. That's ministry. When you see something that needs to be done around the house of the Lord, let me help you do that. Guess what? Now you are moving away from your place of complacency, and now you're moving into a place of service. Whether it is doing just a small, minute thing, do it to the glory of God. Even if you make coffee every Sunday, do it to the glory of God. If you come in and offer prayer in the house of God, do it with glory and honor as you're doing it before the Lord our God. Now, let's look further. Moses had to find these people and things, but one time we have to recognize that really observing others, we can contribute personally in some way as we use our talents, continue to think in terms. I'm using my talent, my gifting, what you blessed me with, God, for your glory. If you're a seamstress and things, there may be baptismal clothes that can help. Or there may be some area that's in the house of the Lord that can use some garments that you can make and things, or pillows for prayer pillows that you can construct. And things for those that come in and pray. Go to your pastor and ask them, say, I got this gift, and I want to bless the house of the Lord with prayer pillows so that they can come and kneel down and pray. Whatever that means, you giving your talents back to the house of the Lord and back to the things of God, and God is going to greatly bless you. Now, I heard in my spirit say, well, what about, you know, outreaching? Well, outreaching is very key and critical too as well, and things. And those go almost hand in hand and things, because when we're not in the house of the Lord, we should be making an impact in some type of way in our community as well and things. Maybe you know someone in that your community or in your complex that have need or something. Maybe God can bless you to meet that need. Or maybe God can even bless you even if you don't have the means to meet the need. Guess what? You have faith to go down on your knees and pray for that person. Pray for that family, that God will bless them with whatever they have needed. So that, again, is another way of using our talents, because sometimes the enemy sometimes will fight us because we say, well, I don't have this money or I don't have that. Well, guess what? Your currency is your faith. And start using your faith to be a blessing to the house of the Lord and to the things of God and things. And watch God begin to multiply your faith and multiply the currency that he's given to you. And he'll start putting the money in your hands too. Pay your tithes. Give into the offering. Watch God bless and multiply it and things. Now look, God called Aaron and his son from among the Israelites and set them apart as to minister in the priestly office. And heeded to the call of God, they no longer could be live to please themselves. Their daily contact and conduct was to basically honor God. Now, isn't that so profound? As we as children of God, we don't go back and just live our life any kind of way. But now our lives we live is for the honor and the glory of God, no matter how other people acting or treating you and things. Our lives are still set aside to bring glory and honor unto the Lord our God. Oh, shayonoboshaka. Oh, I felt the power of God. God, he's still setting people apart for sacred service, a royal priesthood whose lives should be honored and things and bring honor and glorifying unto God. Even our devotion, even our service stems not only from our love for the one who redeemed us, but also for a world for which he died for, but also out of obligation to our Savior and to the world, and saying, God, I do this for you, what you've done for me and things. Help me to reach someone or touch somebody's life as well. Now let's look further at how God has chosen Aaron and his son to minister unto the Lord. Now, the authority of Aaron and his son minister came out through their own initiation, but by divine call. The call, it didn't come out of their own initiation, but it was a divine call. And it said, the call to priestly office extends to succeeding generations of Aaron and his sons and anyone who unlawfully usurped their authority would be killed. Now, the priests were consecrated their life in order to be fit for the service and honor of God. Now, members of the church as royal priests, because of our new birth experience, we are born into the church by receiving the Holy Ghost. And through that experience, God has called us to minister to him by our consecration and separation. We got to come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord our God, and things, and touch not the unclean things. And so, and you got to think in terms, is this going to defile me? Is this going to cause me to lose place with my God? And things, so then, you know, we stop doing it. We put it to the side. We say, God, if this is unholy to you, then it's unholy to me. And things, because I'm consecrated and I have separated myself for the glory of the Lord our God to bring glory and honor unto you. Now, let's look at further. It said, when the priest, when he presented the sacrificial blood at the mercy seat, the priest fulfilled an intermediary or intercessory role to plead the cause of mankind. Some of the priests may have realized that their ministry looked forward to a better priesthood, but even though their service foreshadowed a better covenant, in their days they played a vital role in the atonement of God's people. Now, the tabernacle symbolized God's willingness for sinful mankind to approach him in their quest for mercy. Even the consecrated priests had to receive atonement for their sins. Although the people directed their sacrifices and requests for mercy towards God, the actual effort came through the hands of the fallible priest. However, atonement comes only through God according to his own ways. The type and shadow of the Masonic law testify of the future ministry of Jesus Christ as the great high priest. Let's look at John 14 and 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Exodus 28 and 1, as we read earlier, is another scripture. Since God is sovereign and self-sufficient, he does not need us or depend on us, but we actually are the ones that are in need of him, and without him, we are nothing and can do nothing. When we acknowledge our human frailty and our need for divine intervention for salvation, we become aware of our reliance upon the mercies of God. Thus, the priests appeal to God both for their own existence and for that of the people. And so the priestly role entail more than presiding over the sacrifice at the brazen altar. For example, the priests maintain and use the laver of water, the candle, the golden candlesticks, and the table of shewbread and the altar incense in the way that God had prescribed. However, God must have derived the greatest enjoyment from the exuberant worship of choirs and instruments when we offer to God our lives and our love and our adoration and our praise and our thanksgiving. We are ministering unto God. And so every time you find yourself walking in that household, driving in your car, walking down the street while or jogging, and you bringing up praises and worship and adoration unto God, you are offering up sacrifices unto him. You are offering up before the Lord our God praises that's due unto him. Now, let us look further in things at ministers for Israel, these men. And the calling of the priests answered the need of mankind to draw near to God in the way that he had expected. For instance, God placed a deadline around the foot of Mount Sinai and forbid the people to touch the sacred mountain. The uncleanliness and the corruption of mankind could approach the holiness and purity of God only in the way that he allowed. Only the priest could enter the tabernacle. The people did not dare to venture beyond the outer court where they offered their sacrifices at the brazen altar. The priest officiated at the sacrifice and then washed in the laver of the water before proceeding further. Moreover, only the high priest could go behind the veil and into the presence of God. This was not an everyday ritual, as were some of the priestly tasks. It was a yearly event, every step of which had been divinely ordained. Now, the life not only of the priests, but also that of the people depended on the precision of the priests in following the plan of God. Each year, the Day of Atonement, the people will wait with bated breath to see if the priest would reemerge after offering the blood at the mercy seat. If he emerged from the tabernacle, they knew God had accepted their sacrifice and granted their plea for mercy. If he did not come back out, they knew God had not been pleased with either them or the priest, and the priest had been fortified even his life. Now, the responsibility for the precise adherence to the ritual rested heavily upon the priest. Only through the faithful performance of their duties could the Israelites' sin be rolled off and ahead for another year. The blood of animals could not remit their sin, but it served to roll them ahead towards the time of the new covenant, when a better high priest would come and offer his sinless blood and pardon and conquest their sin. Now, let's look at them being consecrated for the service. Now, there were seven steps, and let's take a look at these seven steps. And I want you to write them down so you can understand them. Let's say a consecrated person set themselves apart for the service to God and live holy, a holy life. Anyone who approaches God first must present himself unto God to be separated and sanctified by the Lord. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch not unclean things. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord. Isaiah 52:11. That's why holiness and righteousness before the Lord our God is key, because we want to the bearers of the vessels of the Lord must be clean. Amen? God will not tolerate sin because it alienates individual from his holiness. Individuals are able to enter into his presence only through repentance. The work of God in the tabernacle, as in all encounter with God, requires reverence and awe and respect. The temple of God is only a holy place where mankind approaches God humbly. Now, let's look at these seven things. Number one, Aaron and his son were called out from the midst of the people. God chose Aaron and his sons for sacred service. He, requiring a distinct separation between them and the masses of Israelites. Israel saw and understood that the hand of God rested upon the group of men, serving in exclusive capacity. They no longer would be their own. They have given themselves to the service of God. They felt the weight of their responsibility, but also the privilege of being set aside by God for his service. And God said, I have given you your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. It's actually come from Numbers 18, verses number 7. No longer could they live normal lives or entangle themselves with the many of the mundane affairs of life. And so see, if you're a man and woman of God, they are gifts that God has given unto you and things for you and doing service for the people of God. Number two, it said Aaron and his son were brought to the entrance of the tabernacles to be examined. Now, according to God's instruction, Aaron and his son was examined to assure that they were free from any physical blemishes and disfigurements that would disqualify them from service. Physical defilement under the law was symbolic of uncleanliness. Number three, they were washed. First, Moses washed Aaron and his son over in Exodus 29, verses 4 and 7, which signified the cleansing and the sanctification of their soul. Psalm 51 and 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. And that take place is when we are being baptized and when we repent and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Next, they were anointed. The anointing symbolized the Spirit of God that dwells the believers today. Aaron could not serve as a priest until Moses anointed him with the holy oil. Moses also sprinkled anointing oil upon the tabernacle and altar and all of his vessel and laver and the priest's foot. Now, over in Leviticus, you'll see that 8 verses 10 through 11 states, and Moses took the anointed oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that were therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereon upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all the vessel, both the laver and the foot, and sanctified it. Now, we cannot minister to the Lord with carnal nature and carnal reasoning. The Spirit of God must anoint our bodies, our souls, and our spirit, and we must live consecrated, holy lives, whether it is witnessing, preaching, singing, or any other aspects of the work of God. We must be anointed of the Holy Ghost to be effective in the acceptable work of God and being acceptable before him as well. Now, let's look further and things at verse, the next point, is that their hands were filled. Now, let's see. Their hands were filled. The priest brought a bullock and a large animal used for sacrificing for their sin offering. And Aaron and his son laid their hands upon the head and identified it with the sacrifice, and they felt the struggle of the bullock in the throes of the death and sensed a horrible price paid for their sin. They watched as Moses collected the blood and poured it out on the bottom of the altar. Moses then cut up the bullock and placed it, the choice parts upon the brazen altar as it burned outside the camp. The rest of it burned outside the camp. Now let's look at another point because I want to make sure I get all the points to you. The other one is that they were clothed. The priest's clothing was for glory and for beauty. The magnificent attire of the high priest glowed and glittered with fine linen in pleasing colors and combination interwoven with golden threads and adorned with onyx and 12 precious stones. They could not perform their priestly role without first being robed appropriately. And the last one, which is number 7, was that they were sanctified. Now, sanctification was the final step of the consecrated process. Moses offered the bulk of the rams of the consecration on the altar and gave part of it to be eaten by Aaron and his son at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Any flesh or bread that remained had to be burned. This sanctification process lasted for 7 days. And you'll find that over in Leviticus chapter number 8, verses 33 and through 35. Now, we as the children of God, we must recognize that our lives are consecrated and holy and set aside for God. Now, let's look. Involvement in the service of God is a high calling and always requires separation and commitment. Their 7 days of consecration opened the understanding of Aaron and his son to an awesome weight of responsibility placed upon them as priests. Throughout the scripture, God called many individuals for various levels of service, whether it was Gideon to lead the Israelites to war or Samuel to lead the people towards God. Their lives were set apart to fulfill the will of God for that time in history. God is holy and requires dedicated individuals who will follow his precepts and commands. The battle of the ages involves walking in obedience to holy, righteous living as opposed to carnality and self-will. No person can serve both of these matters. Those who surrender to the service of God yield their lives to him and seek to please him. Those who mind the flesh reveal in vainglory and are high up in pride or lifted up in pride and rebellion against God. They seek to exalt themselves rather than seeking to exalt God. Now, you'll see that over in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, those who God sanctified to serve him understand they cannot be distracted by various diversions that will steal their time and sap their energy. Aaron and his son did not get involved in earthly pursuits of wealth and success, but they lived from the fruit of their labor as priests. We understand that we must function in society and support our family and spend our time and things and effort to meet many human needs and responsibility. But we as believers must also set priority in order to serve God. By presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, we use our time, energy, and talents for the work of God, which is our responsible service and reasonable service unto the Lord. Laboring in whatever capacity to which God has called us, we cannot earn our salvation, but involving ourselves in the work of God is a labor of love for him. Now, the world lives for self in vainglory, motivated by the pride of life. Many seek acclaim and credit for everything that they do for others. However, we do not conform to the world and its attitude, rather we surrender to the will of God and the purpose of God. We understand God has a place and a purpose for us to fulfill his will and be fruitful in the kingdom. It is our reasonable service and labor of love. Now, let us look at our last point, and that is God called his church to be holy service. You'll see 1 Peter 2 and 9 said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Now, the church's function is the functioning body of Christ here in the earth to evangelize the world and to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, the church is the Savior, his spouse, bride. Now, he called us and he placed us in his church, which is predestined to carry out his work in the earth during the period of grace. Just as Aaron and his son lived holy lives of separation from the masses of Israel, we live godly and holy in this wicked world. God cannot use unclean vessels contaminated by sin so that we can experience the new birth as described in Acts 2:38. He's looking for a holy vessel. We must be consecrated and consecrate our lives to him. Now, let's stop for just a moment, and let's take a note. That is something that God is not going to do. He's already chosen you and he already separated you. But for the consecrating past piece of it, that got to be something that we do as individual of consecrating our lives to the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, what it is in making the choice of choosing the things that's going to please God and the things that's going to bring glory and honor to God, and choosing to separate in ourselves from the things that is an offense to God and that's not pleasing God, and saying, God, I am set aside for your work, and declaring that and decreeing it and saying, God, I am set aside for your work. And he may ask you to give up. You might have to give up some things. You might have to give up looking at TV. Maybe you spend a lot of time looking at television. Maybe that may be a time where God is saying that's going to be a good time that you could give back to God of reading your Bible, reading, being in prayer, or singing songs of praise, or doing some work of the ministry. You're consecrating yourself for that. You're setting yourself, just like you go to a job and think you're there for that 8 hours to do the job. And so when you think in terms of your consecration, thinking, sir, I'm making myself available for God. However he wants to do the work in and through my life, I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to get his word in me. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be fasting and praying before the Lord our God and making myself ready and consecrating myself for service. It is an honor and a privilege to serve as co-laborers as well with God. It is the holy calling and our reasonable service. Instead of living in the gross darkness of sin, rebellion, and pride, and false doctrine, we walk in the light of God and present our bodies as living sacrifice so we can become living testimonies for God and his witness to this world. Now, the theophany is the government of God. During the dispensation period prior to the law, humankind lived according to their conscience or the government, human government. Sin and self-will ruled the heart of mankind with the exception of the few righteous people. Sin has separated people from God, but with the coming of the law, they saw the mercies of God demonstrated in the tabernacle, and it gave them hope. Not only that, God called Aaron and his son to officiate as priests in the tabernacle. The blood of animal could not remit sin, but instead the sacrifice rolled the sins of the people ahead towards the cross of Calvary, where the perfect Lamb of God would bear the sins of the past and future in the his sinless body. Only blood can pay the price of sin, because life is in the blood. And once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the priest entered the Holies of Holies and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. The people waited outside, hoping the priest had done everything right, that God would accept the sacrifice. Now, ministering as priests were sacred office, and everything that they have done according to the pattern shown to Moses at Sinai, only those in the lineage of Aaron were called and chosen as members of the priesthood. They did not choose themselves. They were born into it. God gave explicit instruction about their priestly attires and order in which they should be done and donned. The clothes signifies a life of consecration and holiness and brought honor and glory to God. Their sanctification set them apart for life to fulfill their sacred service. They understood their responsibility as being intermediaries between Israel and God. Now, in the New Covenant, all believers serve God as royal priesthood who live separate, dedicated lives. We do not offer animal sacrifice because Jesus offers himself for once and for all as a perfect and sacrificial lamb, symbolizing his death. We present our bodies as living sacrifice in the service of God. We witness the lost, edify the body of Christ, and intercede in the prayer of those in need. We visit the sick and give of our times and talents and seek the strength in the work of God. Just as God called and sanctified Aaron and his son for service, sacred service, God called you and called us to give ourselves in service. The consecration process prepared Aaron and his son to fulfill their roles as priests. We must consecrate and dedicate our lives and ourselves unto God. He admonishes us to come out from among others of the world, this world, and be separated in order to live our lives as holy and separated unto God. We are vessels, must be cleansed through the new birth. The salvation experience washes us, it cleanses us, it anoints us to perform that consecrated and sacred service which God has given to us as the children of God. Now, in closing, the scripture that I leave you with is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11. It said, "Inasmuch as you, some of you, be ye washed, but ye are sanctified, and but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I'm going to say that again because that's profound. "And such as were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. That's why that being baptized in that name is very important and very key. And that's why we are sanctified, we are justified, and we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. When you have been baptized in that name has been invoked in and over your life. And so, child of God, you have been called to by God for sacred service. And what you do, even though you can do it just out of without any thought because you've been doing it for a while, I want you to always remember what you're doing is sacred service unto the Lord our God and unto his people. And may your works continue and remain, and your fruit remain in this earth, that it will bring forth greater fruit unto the people of God. I pray that you've been blessed on today. I pray that you would even go back and consecrate yourself even more so for the work of the Lord our God. Let them know that you are the vessels of the Lord. You're not just Sally. You're not just Mary. But you are the vessel of the Lord our God. And walk as the vessel. Wherever you're doing for the glory of God, do it with all your might, heart, and strength. And watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. I want to pray for you, Father. We come right now, and I pray for every individual that is listening to this session, God, that you will consecrate them and allow them to consecrate themselves because you set us apart. And, Father, you have put your hands upon us for your service, God. Now, Father, give us the grace and the wisdom and the knowledge to consecrate ourselves for the work and the service of God. And God, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you the glory and the honor. We want to be vessels that is able to be used by you, glory. Lord, we break every appetite. We break every habit and make everything that will come to impede upon the consecration. We declare it broken and loosed here on today in the mighty name of Jesus. Every band broken, every yoke destroyed, every heavy burden undone. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Child of God, if you believe that prayer, we believe that that thing is broken off your life. Go on and consecrate yourself. Go on and do the work and the will of the Lord. That habit has let you loose. Now you run and do the work and the will of the Lord our God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in my closing, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And so until we meet again, call somebody and say, meet me at home, and give them the time and watch God do a glorious work. I'm so excited about you and the things of the Lord that God is doing in your life. Don't you dare give up. Go back and get that towel. Get up. and try again and watch God do it in and through your life. So until I meet you again, I want to see you again on even in a couple more days as we come back together for another glorious time. Bring a friend, tell somebody, and watch God bless you.